Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Happy New Year. It's Jan 5 or 6?
It's the 6th already.
6. Damn.
It's the anniversary.
Oh, yeah, I'm bugging.
Of trying to overthrow the goddamn government, which
tripping. Yeah, of course.
Have it's the for.
Yeah, they're having it all. And, you know, it's been going, it's been, you know, reports all day, kind of like retrospectives all day. President Biden spoke, really got at Trump for the fuckery. Him and Vice President Harris both spoke today, and I've been really, I guess for lack of a better term, kind of avoiding the retrospectives. Like you said, because of the lack of consequences, you know, it's just going to piss me off all over again to know that. I mean, yeah, there's been some insurrectionists that have gotten, you know, jail time, and others will get jail time, I'm sure. But the big boys, no big boys have gotten nothing.
No big boys, and not the president himself. And, you know, last year, watching it in real time was just so wild. Like, it was like some real George Orwell or Twilight Zone or something type shit. Mm-hmm. It was so wild to just keep trying to wrap my brain around the fact of what we were watching happen in real time, and the fact that so many people were acting like it wasn't that big a deal, like it was akin to a protest, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing for me, like the fact that still there doesn't, it just doesn't feel like it's spoken of with enough weight. Cause I'm like, why motherfuckers still seated in Congress? Why? Yeah. Like, I don't understand it. To me, it just makes us look so weak, but it tracks, right? Because like after the fucking Civil War, you know, they let some of the leaders of the Confederacy come on back into the administration.
As you know from growing up in the South, there's a lot of those blue jacket, khaki pants motherfuckers in Mississippi, Alabama, South Carolina, parts of Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, and so on, whose money is from, you know, slavery and all that. It goes way back, hundreds of years. You know, those rich, you know, tads and that is, like you said, even when they, you know, went against the country, they weren't punished, and in some ways they were rewarded. You know, that their lives were allowed to go on, and they were allowed to prosper and profit on everything.
Right.
Like you know, it never happened. And we're seeing that again.
That's exactly what it is now. And that's exactly, even when you want to talk about like with the pandemic, and you look at the fact that, you know, I was thinking about it the other day, and I was like, Biden can't really make it a national mandate because we were talking about this in group chat. I was like, there's no precedent. Vaccines, period, are state mandated. Seatbelts are state mandated. Anything that actually makes that enforces the social contract we have with other citizens, it's mandated state by state.
But the difference is that the states before this were all cooperative when it came to protecting the constituents. It didn't matter if you were, you know, in Wyoming or North Carolina or whatever. It's like, we got to put seatbelts in because people are dying. We got
to
do,
even though, know, Reagan had to push to make that happen, apparently.
Yeah.
Still, it's like, it's how you enforce it is mandated state to state until it gets to a federal agency level. And that's usually about employees and service people, not actual citizens, right? But even with that, states' rights is basically kind of an excuse to let the South do the shit they want to do.
Who the fuck they want to do?
Even though they didn't secede from the Union. And that gets us to this place where we're so ideologically different from state to state, region to region, area to area. And I think it's a problem. People would say slippery slope because, you know, it's the whole part.
Slippery slope when there's, you know, coming up on 1 million people dead. It's not really
exactly.
Much.
Exactly.
And so the wild shit about these motherfuckers is like, even like I saw, I'm sure you saw it too yesterday. What's his name? DeSantis, Ron DeSantis in Florida. Right. He gave his first public speech in weeks because, they say he's had COVID. So when you saw him yesterday, he's still fucked up. And it's like, yo, dude, like, you're struggling to just breathe, let alone talk, and you still don't, I don't care, I'm opening up everything. Dude, sound like you were on your deathbed last week.
Yeah, and now at this point, it's like, it has become politicized, and it's ironic because as usual, the right will say that the left is the one politicizing it. And it's like, no, y'all are the only ones that want to politicize death right now. Like,
See the frustration as far as the vaccine goes when you see Biden and Kamala, the Vice President Kamala Harris, because they're just like, what the fuck? Like, what's wrong with you niggas? Like, what the fuck? Like, you niggas, like, your uncle, your mother died, bro. Like, what are you doing? Right. And they're still like, whatever.
I'm like, trying to send kids to school. And
yeah.
The scariest for me about the January 6th shit is, like, 50 of the people, I read an article today, 50, maybe over 50 people are running for office in 2022. 50 people that were tied to the insurrection that were actually there. Wow. Are running for office, and we don't have the Voting Rights Act in service. It's not been renewed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the gerrymandering, with all of the like difficulty voting, we're going to be red for a while.
And you got motherfuckers like Boebert and Marjorie Greene Taylor Greene, or whatever her name is, and people like that. Just like, dude, like I keep saying,
like, motherfuckers laugh at me,
like, don't be surprised. And like, if these types, like you said, really lock in, like, don't be surprised if in like 10 or 15 years they're like, yo, we're gonna do slavery again. Like, it wouldn't shock me.
And people keep saying stuff like that is outrageous, or it's outlandish, over the top, or it's fear mongering. But here's the thing, we have seen things fall apart just in the past 6 years, right? Or even let's say 10 years from Obama's midterms, right? Mm-hmm. Just the way we've seen things fall apart is It's hugely frightening. And it's like, you have to not be paying attention to even those people who are like in the ideological middle, or who consider themselves leftist, or even left of Dems, who are like, well, y'all said, you know, y'all tried to make it seem like we had to vote for Hillary, we had to vote for Biden. It's like, motherfucker, you did. You needed to vote against the other person. Like,
that's what they do.
Right. And I'm like, that's what they do. It's like, well, it's not enough to vote against Trump. Yes, the fuck it would have been enough. We would still have Supreme Court seats, right? We would still, like, we would have still had control of some shit. We would have
had an insurrection
this far along with COVID. We wouldn't have had the insurrection. Like, I don't understand. No president, and I know people say that this is extra's problem, is that we're fence riders. We're not. No president is perfect. There's no president. No, there is literally no president who can make the entire citizenship of the United States happy. Not even Democrats, because Democrats are too big a tent. We're too big a tent, because anybody who's not for cutting off every social program and whatever is usually a Democrat. It's too big a tent. There's no president that can make the entire constituency happy. None. And the dim ideals are so broad right now in terms of who considers himself a Democrat. And it's just like, y'all motherfuckers really don't see the big picture. You do not. It's about the country. It's not even just about me. It's what I need as a Black person. It's about the good of the fucking country. And I don't understand why people don't see that. They just don't at all.
It's like you said, it's scary as shit, man. It's like I said, there ain't no telling what they're gonna try to make happen.
We probably had to ride through some bullshit for about 30, 40 years. Yeah. Legit. People are gonna
be like, I can't believe they did that.
We're gonna have to go through a whole nother, like, full out civil rights movement. Like, this has been a civil rights movement, Black Lives Matter movement. We're gonna have to go through, like, because it's not just gonna be Black folks, it's gonna be gays, it's gonna be women. It's gonna, like, we're gonna have to go through a whole nother fucking civil rights movement and get this shit going all over again. Like, it's crazy. Yeah.
So anyway, I don't even want to talk more about the damn insurrection. Should piss me off. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
What's the official date at which, if you haven't spoken to somebody yet in the new year, you can stop saying Happy New Year?
I stopped saying pretty much after the first. You might get a couple. You might get a something on the second. After that, niggas was popping. We missed it.
I'm annoying. I'm gonna say it until like February. I haven't run into you by then.
I usually might let it rock out through January. No, I'm not saying it.
I'm done. That one I just said that's the last one you ever made. Until 2023. Ain't nothing else happening. New York City is cold as hell. Supposed to get a little snow tomorrow, like 4 to 4 or something like that. Yeah, you know, it is what it is. It happens every year.
Supposed to get 13 tonight.
Y'all get hammered. Why?
I felt bad on Monday for those who had to go back into the office because it was the coldest day we had had yet. And it's like the day y'all got to work.
Fucking cold. Fucking we were below zero up here.
Oof. I look like where my ass is missed. Like I got back in the house.
Same. It's
cold. I just came in from the gym. It's cold. It's cold as shit.
I'm trying to convince myself to go to the grocery store tonight.
It's cold. As they say, it's nippy out there. We might as well just jump right into. I don't know how long this show's going to be today. It might not be too long. It's the first one back. We're just kind of catching up. We jump into old TV stuff. Insecure, because we haven't had a show since that finale.
Yes, please give me my props because I predicted all that shit.
I gotta walk away and leave this to y'all because y'all know I still haven't watched this whole season.
All right, then, because it's me and you. So you did predict all of that.
I'm going to get some juice.
All right, I didn't think Lawrence and Issa would end up together. I thought Issa would end up alone. I thought Issa would end up professionally where she ended up. I thought she would be good professionally, but I didn't think her and Lawrence would end up as a couple. I thought she would end up alone with neither Lawrence or Nathan. And I thought Lawrence would just go on to be a dad and, you know, him and Condola would do whatever that was going to morph into. But I was wrong. There's a couple of things. It's a little fuzzy now because it's been, at least 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
It's been like 2 weeks. Yeah.
So I'm a little fuzzy because I've been watching a lot of shit. But I know what I didn't like about this, there's a couple things I didn't like about this episode. It's coming back to me now. Okay. I didn't like how they turbo boosted Kelly's love life. They had 5 seasons.
That's valid.
So something, and even I'll take the 4 seasons away. You had a season. You had 10 episodes. I'm not saying it should. They gave us a lot of Molly's life. You know, with her, with her and Torian, and her and her family, and her mom, and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. We're gonna get Issa because she's the star of the show. That's granted, right? We got what's her name, Tiffany, like with her moving and. Not sure about moving. And Kelly was just like the same thing. Goofy fat friend. Mm-hmm. And then in episode 10, you introduce us to her dude. Desmond. Okay. They weren't married. I don't remember. But like, they don't say how they met. He pops up. And then pregnant and then together, and it's like you had several episodes that they could have at least dropped seeds along the way, like Kelly's like, I met some guy and some slick shit she could say, and I can't go to y'all tonight, y'all, I'm going out, but where are you going out with that? So like, I hate that they crammed. Waiting for them to flesh Kelly's character out for 5 seasons,
right?
And I hate that they crammed last episode. I didn't like that at all.
Overall, I think they crammed way too much into the last 2 episodes. Yes. I think we had so many. We had those 8 episodes where nothing happened.
Niggas was trying to find a dog. Niggas went to college thing and got robbed. Niggas went to a Jason Derulo party. Like, you wasted so much time this season.
But I also think that going in, there might not have been a definitive outline as to where the characters ended up until maybe halfway through writing this season.
Well, I know Issa and Prentice said that there was a different ending finale.
Right.
And they changed.
Yeah, they were going to do it in like Morocco. In
Morocco. Shoot all this Morocco stuff. And then they changed.
I'm so glad they changed it.
Me too. But me too. But I didn't like the Kelly thing, and I didn't like was something else I didn't like that they did.
Kelly. Was it Molly's mom's death? Because I feel they're at that age where that is happening.
Yes,
I felt like a lot of people on the internet were mad at that. Like, why do we have to see the pain and Molly has to go through so much? And I was like, well, in your mid-30s is when you and your friend group start to really lose parents. And, you know, you're elder. You become the elders in your 40s and 50s this age. So
I know a few people just like from social media. Over the last few months, it was like, my mom passed, my father passed.
Oh, yeah.
I see that all the time. It's like you said, that's part of our life now. That shit happens and it's going to, you know, sadly going to keep happening. So I wasn't mad at Molly's mom passing, you know, at all. I mean, I didn't really want to. What I thought was slick and nobody really addressed is Molly being right to press them to do the will.
Right.
Because her mother died and it was like they had, at least the affairs were in place.
Yeah.
You know?
What's dope about that though is that, so Issa is so amazing at creating an ecosystem and putting people on and definitely reaching back. So one of Issa's best friends from Stanford actually has an estate planning division in the law firm where she works. I think her name is Keisha, but in real life, she does this for Black families. So
that's where that came from.
To put that into the storyline. And then, of course, if you look at Issa's like Instagram, whatever, she's in there, like it's a way to put on another person. But I love that Kelly and Molly are working together. Yes. I love that Kelly is now working for Black people because that's something she expressed that she wanted to do. So that avenue of Kelly's story, like I feel like everybody fleshed out really well professionally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Except, I just didn't like them cramming Kelly's shit into like the last episode.
I get that. She deserved to be character. Yes. And she's actually like she's gorgeous and sexual.
We've never seen her apartment. We don't know what we don't know anything about her personal life until now she's married and pregnant. But like before that, I was like, we never saw where she lived.
Compare it to Sex and the City, but if you're gonna have a character like a Samantha in a show like this, Samantha was such a huge corner of that show to not give somebody like Kelly, who we all showed up for every week. We didn't even fuck about Tiffany. We didn't even like Molly for 3.5 seasons. We showed up for Kelly. Everybody was team Kelly. To not give her a full story and a full existence in that show did seem cheap.
Yeah, it did. It did.
It did. So
the other thing that threw me off was like the time jumping.
I loved that though.
I didn't know what was happening.
I have a feeling we're going to get a giant fast forward of all of these characters and we're going to see them years later. So I'm glad.
Last thing, I didn't like Lawrence wore a turtleneck to the wedding, nigga.
I hated that fucking turtleneck.
Nigga, you're in California. First of all, you're in California. It's warm, my nigga.
Listen, but California weather, LA weather specifically is bizarre because you can have on a Scully. And I could be wearing a sundress and everybody's comfortable.
I got on a leather jacket. You got on some shorts and nobody's
like tripping. Even when we were at club quarantine, some people had like sweaters on. I was almost naked. Yeah. Travis had on like a jacket and a wool hat. Mm-hmm. Everybody was fine. So
But whatever. That's nitpicky. That's nitpicky bullshit.
That turtleneck did piss me off. Yeah, the tall niggas do love a turtleneck, and I don't know what that's about.
He wore turtlenecks a lot this season, actually. But what did you think? What did you think overall about I'm sure you know, but they said that that in the last scene between Molly and Issa, that wasn't scripted.
Right. That was Princess gave Yvonne the direction to not be Molly in that scene, but to
tell Issa how you really feel, which is why you saw Issa get so choked. Because Issa's character, I don't remember her crying once on the show when Lawrence walked out. I've seen
Issa as an actor does not cry like her character didn't cry and like cover her face and do like the whole that was really her. So moment I think touched every girlfriend.
Oh yeah that was dope. Like that was super dope.
That was always the love story for me. It was
Molly, it was the love story. Yeah, that's the love story.
Yeah,
the rest of the story is, like you said, they were together, they broke up.
Yep.
And then they got
and
back
they had
together.
To find their way back. Mm-hmm, I also, mm-hmm. I'm not mad that she ended up with Lawrence. It's not going to always look perfect. You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. you know who you love. You know, there's a growing up you have to do sometimes where even though like, you know, this is your person, and they made it very clear in season 4, episode 8, that like, that was her person. That mm-hmm. beautiful episode they did. Like, she's not going to find that with anybody else.
Now, which episode was that? Which episode was that?
Where she goes on the date with Lawrence.
Oh, the
where they
date.
Go to the restaurant the and talk and like
yeah. Okay.
You don't have those kinds of feelings. And even their breakup was so like hard, they couldn't really talk through it.
Yeah.
I don't think you do that to us as a viewer and then at the end say, oh, she doesn't get Lawrence.
She don't get nobody, yeah. Now what do you think about the Nathan in general? What do you think about Nathan? Like
Nathan's character gets the perpetual fuck that nigga from me for trying to ruin her birthday not once, but twice.
Oh my God.
You can't just keep showing up like around somebody's birthday with, you know, that little bullshit envelope of cash. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, I've never been that nigga. Like, I don't go where I'm not invited.
Right.
Like, I'm not showing up. I don't care what our relationship is or was. If I'm not invited to the birthday event, I'm not showing up. Like, because first of all, you don't know what you're walking into. It could be another nigga there. For real, you don't know, then you're like, "Why am I here?" And she's hugged up with the next nigga. Like, I really played my fucking self. So like, I'm not getting, like, I don't go.
She gave him so much latitude with him working out his mental health issues and all of that. Yeah. And even still, like being in a relationship with someone that has those issues, of course you have to handle them gently and do the whole thing. But like, you don't get 2 months to not talk to me and then keep coming back, nigga. And like, that's not what this is.
Yeah.
Like, figure your shit out. Stop getting violently angry at whatever and just leave me alone.
My thing is, if I can, well, I'm gonna take that back because I ain't gonna sign.
I love overall, you love the finale. I'm still a super documentary fan of the show.
Documentary was great. I highly recommend for anybody who hasn't watched the documentary. I like the documentary better than the finale. You know,
I'm not gonna say that, but
I really liked the documentary. It was really well done. It gave us a lot of breakdown of the show, and it wasn't just like the suck Issa off doc. Like, they gave us a lot of everybody, except clearly.
But even in that though, there was. It felt really genuine. Like, they all really respect and revere her.
Yes.
What she has done, what she's opened the doors for. Like, we were talking about the different shows that now her writers have gone on to show run and do whatever. Yeah. Even though you hate Grand Crew, that's
Grand Crew is trash.
From the Issa ecosystem.
It's so trash. It's so trash. Yo, but even the driver dude.
People that just needed a few more hours
got him in the union insurance. He's like, I'm in the union now. I can work forever because of this. The documentary was good. Although clearly they do not fuck with Amanda Seals. clearly
she said it herself, like, her book is titled Small Doses because you got to take her in small doses.
Everybody else was in these like group scenes and like hanging out.
They didn't show her rap.
Nigga, they didn't show nothing. They showed her like separately. The two or three parts they showed, I think it was two, were both separate from everybody. It was never like, hey, me and, you know, Yvonne are kicking it. It was like, nah, nigga, you're by yourself. We don't fuck with you. You stay over there, nigga. So yeah, that was crazy.
I don't know. I thought it was good. I'm still a super fan. I'm gonna rewatch it again and again, of course. But
now you can come back.
I'm here. I saw something that looked like Jeff saying whatever. Fuck
yeah, I was talking about how the Insecure
the cast in general doesn't fuck
with Amanda Seals. And when you watch that documentary,
they really don't.
It's clear that they do not fuck with her. It's so clear.
Yeah, and we don't really care the end of Tiffany's story. She was barely in the last episode.
Yeah, it didn't mean
anywhere.
I wanted to mention
we have to shout out Betty White before we go any further.
I got her written down. Grand Cru.
I heard it's not funny.
It's trash. It's so fucking trash.
It has funny moments.
It wasn't good. It's not good. But I don't want to be that
middle class.
It's very
rich, not poor.
But you can tell it's written by the private school black kids.
Yeah.
Who are black, but not really. Like, they black, but
I think it's funny that the girl in the show gets on my very last nerve.
The heavyset girl?
Yes. Oh my God. Where does she come from?
Is heavyset politically correct nowadays? I don't even know.
I don't know. You know who you're talking
about. Yeah,
she's
you know
fucking annoying. And okay. There's something about, I don't know. Do we have to hypersexualize every fat black girl on TV?
No, definitely
that
don't.
Is that necessary?
But you know what, though? This is what I'll say about Grand Cru. It's trash. Right, but that's okay. I want to get to the space, and I think we talked about this before. Every black show does not have to be fucking stellar, because every white show is not stellar.
Right.
It's okay that Grand Cru is mid. It's okay.
Yes, we need a myriad options that reflect all aspects of blackness.
Yes, full exactly, okay. Exactly. So let's move on from Grand Cru. Abbott Elementary came on night before last with their
excellent.
The show is so good, yo. It's so
shout out good. To Quinta Brunson.
Yes,
who comes from In a Large? He got money.
He got money.
He got some years ago.
Yo, now I think
he was on the Black. She's on the Black Lady sketch show.
Was her? I think I'm trying to remember the first time I saw her was the He Got Money thing, or it probably was. She's also in a Thundercat video.
Oh, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, she's in a Thunder, but it's like it's really like kind of like cheap video. The song is fire. Like, I saw her in that. I was like, oh, this girl, she's like a little, clip. She's funny. But anyway, she's going
on. She also had this meme. Hey, Sean, she also had this meme about Millie rocking on every block.
Oh, yeah.
With her background, all these global, Great Wall of China.
And that also, she also had that other skit where she was playing the skier. And she was like, I came in second place. She's like, I'm good. Like, New York. But I came in second. I'm good. But anyway, so peace to her, man. The show was great.
Tyler James Williams,
his comic timing is impeccable. He's so
the
funny.
The kids in that show are hilarious.
They introduced a new character this week, the kid's mom. So they're starting to bring, and they're giving us a little more of the janitor now. So they kind of stretch out that universe a little bit. But it's really great. I haven't watched the new Wonder Years yet. It came on last night.
It's a good one.
I'm sure. So
it always
every episode is good. Yeah. So I
it focuses on the mom and daughter's relationship.
Oh, which I love. The daughter hasn't really had a focus on her yet, really.
Yeah, and they try to join this Jack and Jill kind of thing. You'll see it.
Okay,
it's very well done.
I'm gonna watch it when we finish taping. Also wanted to mention Blackish, which I hadn't watched in several seasons when I realized that.
The last year. I haven't either, which is
Jack
why
got
I,
like, Jack I got a mustache now. I'm like, what the fuck,
Jack?
Diane got
Jack
like a little.
Jack is 17.
Yeah, I know. 17, yeah, Diane got a little, got her little, body and her style, her hair down. I'm like, what the fuck? What?
So you jumped into this season without catching up?
I just jumped in. It came on after Abbott. So I just kept watching.
This is the last season. I stopped. You know what? I stopped watching. I stopped watching the season that ended with. So I guess I missed two seasons. I stopped watching the season that ended with them, maybe about to separate.
I think I'm the same.
Was
that before or after the baby?
That might be 3 years ago.
That was before the baby.
Was she pregnant? No, it was after the baby.
I think the pregnancy.
Baby was here.
No, I think the I can't remember.
I don't know. That's at least two or three seasons.
It's a while ago.
Because also, what happened?
We had Black as fuck in between all this.
Because he had an apartment, and then he decided not to take the apartment, and then the parents were going to take the apartment.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah,
that was the last episode. I don't know like how they brought it into ago. The
yeah, it's yeah. like 19, maybe 19 or so. So 2019. Yeah, was, so
I think that's why.
And I watched this only because Michelle Obama was on this premiere episode. And right. I mean, again, I guess I'm you're calling me the grouchy nigga, but I thought this episode was so fucking mid and such a wasted opportunity. You got goddamn Michelle Obama on the show, and the plot line for the show was just so goofy. I'm like Michelle, they met Michelle at some party and like made friends with her, and she's like, y'all come to your house for dinner the next night, which yeah, right, that's never happening. And then when she comes over, like, they don't want her to meet any of the family. I'm like, why would you not want her to meet your kids and your parents? Like, what are you talking about? So they're like, they're sneaking in, and they're like, get out. It's just going to be me and Michelle, us and Michelle. Like, I didn't like it, man. I didn't like it. So, yeah, do better. Do better, bro.
So, go ahead, so bro. Okay.
You got some inside info?
I don't want to be that guy. No inside info. But, like, it was very mid yesterday. You are correct. But I also want to say, man, for a show that has seven seasons, man, like, they're just not memorable episodes.
No. Like, they don't have those classic episodes. You're right.
It is fascinating and almost mind-blowing that they don't have at least one or two of those with, you know, this many seasons and such great talent. Like, they're mm-hmm. all talented people. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's very... You know, if you miss it, you don't really feel that inclined to kind of...
No. Yeah, you don't feel like, oh, fuck, I missed Blackish last night. It's like, I'll catch the next one. Hey, I just didn't... I don't know. I didn't like it. But, you know, again, it's okay for it to be mid because some things can be mid.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I'm going to watch it, right? Yeah. And, you know, God bless. They're going to get some syndication bread and...
Oh, yeah, they get money. They're getting money, so God
bless them. Already are syndicated.
They're syndicated, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. They get money. Yeah. Like Nas said, we got to give love to Betty White, who passed away at almost 100.
Almost 100.
99 and three quarters.
Like 17 right. days short. Yeah. Well, on New Year's Eve, which is kind of pimp
that's
shit.
That's baller. Yeah. Well,
technically, if somebody year. Posted this, she lived through 24 leap years.
She got the PTO. Technically, yeah. She earned the PTO.
We letting that PTO roll over. Yeah,
we're gonna let that roll over. Put that in her 401k.
Betty White, which I think is important to, well, two things. The first thing is that, you know, Betty being 100 was going to be monumental. I think the last actor I can remember who hit 100, didn't George Burns hit 100?
I think he did hit 100.
And so that was a big
long
deal.
Time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. But the thing about Betty is that she was our longest surviving television star. She had been there literally since they made the flip from radio to TV. So mm-hmm. her career is television history legitimately, like, because she's also been working, like, she's had roles and been active.
Yes, I'm saying, like, she didn't like fall off in the 70s. Like, she'd been popping every decade. She had a show up, even up to like the Hot L Cleveland. Like, she had
the Hot in Cleveland.
Like, her doing the Saturday Night Live and like
Hot in Cleveland is hilarious, by the way.
Yeah, I've heard. I gotta watch it because that one has Shane Leeds in it, and I've been a fan of her since Frasier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like she's been working, and you know, as people were playing back clips, and I've been rewatching Mary Tyler Moore, which is actually a fascinating rewatch now. I don't think I ever watched the whole series. And for it to be a television series in the 70s, it's really interesting to watch because it's really smart. And I'm not saying TV in the 70s wasn't smart, but like a lot of it was really advanced, which I know, which is why it's one of the greatest sitcoms of all time. But there's some shit where I'm like, that wouldn't really fly now, but whatever. But it's a really well done show if you guys have a chance to see it. Betty White comes in like towards the end of the series, like
maybe Sue Ann Nevins,
maybe season mm-hmm. four. She starts showing up. She's not really part of the full cast till season five. Very, very like sharp, sardonic, shady character. Mm-hmm. Like always smiling and cutting you and stabbing you mm-hmm. in your throat. But anyway, but as people were playing clips of Betty's stuff all the way up to the end, what always got me, like interviews on Late Night Earth, and she was so quick. She yeah. was so quick. Like that Vaudeville variety show mm-hmm. improv training was like, she was on it. Like up again, up to the end, she was just so quick. And I just feel like we don't always see that anymore.
Yeah. And she's actually one of the actresses that kind of transcended. Like, it wasn't like young black people liked her, like the gays loved her because everybody of Golden Girls. And like, yeah, she didn't have like, she wasn't like a niche kind of person. Like, she was like she was, everybody fucked her Betty White.
She was unproblematic. Betty was an early LGBTQ ally. Mm-hmm. She was, her own personal variety show got canceled because she was giving too much screen time to this black, dancer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She, you know, she minded her business. Her husband died. In 80, she ain't never been attached to nobody else. She was waiting on Alan. Yeah, it's like, she was just a good egg. And you don't see a lot of those. This guy tried to come at me because of how much praise or how effusive I was in my tweet about her dying. And I was like, you ain't got to hate all the white people, bro. I promise
you. Yeah, like, she's good, bro. She's fine. She brought joy.
Like, it's really okay.
It's fine to like Betty White.
There's a few of them. Yeah. When they die, I'm going to go up for them.
Betty White's good.
Yeah, mess. Like, just get ready. Like,
you know how hard it is to be unproblematic for 99 years?
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I'm saying.
Just let us have this one.
Yeah, and to have most of those, like, in public, be public. Yeah. Like, she was an animal advocate. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, how you hate on that shit? Like,
some niggas is, you know, whatever.
Niggas is
yo, we need to keep our eye on Sidney Poitier.
Yeah, it's coming
James
up.
James Earl Jones.
It's coming up. It's
James
coming
Earl,
up.
James Earl, for real. We just
Harry Belafonte, all the niggas in 90s.
Listen,
Quincy Jones.
Quincy's 80s.
I'm going to tell you, Mr. Belafonte, he's been shaky for about a good year. We got to watch him.
Yeah, I mean, our elders are really elder now.
Yeah,
you know?
For real elders.
I watched this documentary, just want to mention, about Juice WRLD on HBO Max. Really depressing doc. I don't even know if I would like recommend it because it's so depressing. Just to see this kid, and I always call people kids, but like, he was in this doc, he died when he was 20. So in a lot of this doc, he was 19. He was like really a kid. And just to see this kid going through this huge addiction. Like, this guy was just a drug addict of multiple drugs. Percocets, Oxycontin, lean, cocaine. Like, and he's using all this on film. Like, it's funny. Well, funny is the right term. But, like, what's interesting, I don't remember him smoking weed in the whole doc. I don't think he smoked once. But all the other hardcore pills. And hardcore. Like, he's taking like 10 Percocets at a time.
Jesus.
Oh yeah. Like, he's taking perks, drinking lean, and sniffing coke on a private plane all at the same time. God. And nodding out. He's constantly nodding out. Like, he was never not high. Yeah, it was awful. It was the kid was so talented. His record sold, streamed in today's terms. Gugobs, and that was actually kind of an issue because he was literally printing money. He was making so much money that around him was
fuel that addiction.
And just enablers, because nobody was going to stop the train because he put a project out. It was just like boom, like, you know, would just explode. So it was really sad to watch. I didn't really enjoy that too much.
This is a horrible segue, but speaking of weed. I want to give
a horrible segue. Oh my god!
Let me give a shout out to the worst weed on the planet. It comes from the city of New Orleans. I just want to say I'm very disappointed in all of you.
they had the right plug, Inca.
No. I went to two different dispensaries. Dispensary situations. I ate an entire bag of gummies. And nothing happened.
A bag?
Nigga, a bag. A bag of these.
And nothing happened.
This says 600 milligrams. It's a lie.
cap.
Even, like, I brought a pre-roll or whatever and opened it up, and it was not green. So I don't know what you guys are doing. And it's decriminalized in Louisiana. It's not necessarily legal. But also, like, guys, please just get it together. Known for like the alcohol, it's the Big Easy, but like, come on.
Do better.
It was very disappointing. I just wanted to say that.
I gotta give a shout out to my a quick shout out to my family. So I gotta, as not special, but I have a cousin group chat, like many people do. Mm-hmm. And a few days ago, one of my cousins mentioned that our cousin, his name is Harry Case. So his mother, I believe, and my grandfather are siblings. I don't know if his mother or his father, maybe his father, whatever, a sibling. So Harry's actually a second cousin, I guess. He moved to Chicago from Kentucky way before me, set up a funeral home, and that's what he did for a living. And I found out the other day that he was Emmett Till's mortician. And I was like, what? He was like, yeah, you ain't know that? I'm like, no, nigga, I know I didn't know this. So apparently, like, he knew Miss Till. And when Emmett was killed, he drove from Chicago to Mississippi and picked up the body and then drove the body back to Chicago where they did the one who did that famous funeral, the open casket funeral. So I want to give out a shout out. He's passed away now. I want to give out a shout out to Harry Case. And I know there's an Emmett Till show coming on ABC.
Yeah, I saw that. The Women of the Movement.
Yeah. So I got to watch that because
I think they focus on a different area every episode, every week, or every season or something.
Yes, yeah, so I got to watch
it. Honestly, it's about time because, like, even though we talk about it, even when we're talking about, like, Merle and Betty and Coretta, like, the women are the ones who had to keep shit going. Like, yep. After when children died, when
their husbands got killed,
when their children got killed, like, it was women who were speaking up and out, you know, and carrying.
Absolutely.
Stuff. I mean, think again, Malcolm, Martin, and Medgar were all under 40 when they died. So think, yeah, like, the whole lives that these women had to go through, you know.
Yeah, and the pressure of those women because of who they were and who they were married to.
They couldn't have none of them could, the only one who we
never,
married.
Yeah, they could never, Coretta Scott and
Betty.
And Betty were never publicly with another man.
Yeah.
Ever. Even only though they were in their 30s when their husbands were murdered. And so they had, like, they were still very vital women, you know?
With all them damn kids. Jesus.
All them chillings. But yeah, I'm going to watch the Emmett Till one selfishly because I want to see how they portray my cousin Harry.
Your cousin. Let me watch an episode documentary to see if my cousin gets a shot.
Who they got playing Harry in there?
The blackest shit of all time.
Oh, fucking black.
He better put somebody good looking in there for cousin Harry. Right, yeah. Hey, it was Catbird. You know how you say that. Hey, Catbird now. Watch it.
What?
You never heard that? Catbird.
Never.
You like the ladies.
No idea what you're talking about.
Harry liked the ladies. I'm getting older and blacker by the day.
By the day.
Peace to the Grammys. Postponed to whenever because of COVID. I'm glad they did that. We're about to have a couple major super spreader events. A Super Bowl.
Yep.
Well, no. Let me change that. The first one is actually Monday, the college football championship. Alabama and Georgia.
We getting another shutdown. It's either going to be the easy way or the hard way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be the government subsidized and force everybody to shut down. Or you're not going to have anybody to work these events. You're going to have super spreader events that then disperse throughout the country. And then you're not going to have doctors and nurses.
Yeah, because people, like you said, people come to these events and then go back to other places. You know, everybody don't live there. They go back to wherever. So you got the college football championship Monday coming up. You got the Super Bowl. You got the NBA All-Star game. And I'm sure some other things that I'm not even thinking about. And then normal NBA basketball is in full effect now, except up in Canada. Canada just shut down. So actually the Toronto Raptors played last night and the stadium was empty. But besides them, every stadium is full to the gills, like it's normal.
I think they just closed the border again, too.
Yeah, I think they did. I think you're right. You know, you got the NFL playoffs coming up, so those stadiums are going to be flooded, 80, 90, 100, you know, 90,000 people. So, She was real, man.
That's wild to me. Like, I felt so guilty being on an airplane after Christmas. Like, I couldn't even relax. Really? I don't know how people are voluntarily just going out and.
Well, that's why I drove. I don't know. That's why I drove to and from South Carolina, even though I was exhausted afterwards, but I couldn't. It's kind of like last year. By the time I had been in South Carolina for most of December, I got so paranoid that I canceled my ticket and drove back. This time I was like, I'm going to just drive down and back.
To begin How with. Was that?
How was the drive?
Yeah.
Which way?
Which way do you take?
If you come from here, you can take 81 straight down to the border.
Well, I take 95 all the way down.
You're gonna take a little side exit down 13 through the.
No, I'll do none of that shit. Once I hit the turnpike, I go straight through until I get right to the North Carolina South Carolina border. At which point, I get on 20.
Also, it's 20 for you.
Yeah, 20 to 26. Yeah, because my mom lives like 30 minutes outside of Columbia. Now, if I was going to Greenville, I would just take 95 to 85. Bam, that's it.
Okay.
Because my mom lives like half an hour outside of Columbia, but that's only like the last hour in change of my trip that I'm on another highway. So I can either do it that way or I can go 77 to 85 to 95. It's only about an hour or two out of that I'm not just on a straight shot. So both times I drove overnight and, which even though it's painful because I'm not sleeping, it's easier for me because you don't have to worry about running into all the traffic and there's actually less cops, the fewer cops on the road. So the speed traps aren't quite as bad. And the only thing for me being a woman is just making sure I find the right places to stop where I feel safe. So going to those truck stops, you know, and stuff like that. So I just got to time my gas ups and stuff. But I made good time. Listen, my ass. I made good time, though. Coming back. Listen, I did 12 hours flat coming back.
This is the important thing. Did you have like some chicken and some pop and
stuff? Of course. I don't get in the car without food now. Listen.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Did you just say pop?
Yeah, I said pop. Because you know, if you're going south, you gotta call it pop if you're going south.
No, that's the Midwest. South is
Minnesota.
The Midwest is pop. Yeah.
You gotta be like the other side of the Mississippi.
Your people are from Kentucky. Kentucky is right on that.
Kentucky
line.
Is pop. It's absolutely pop.
Kentucky's on the Midwest. Kentucky is like half Midwest.
Mid-South.
That's why they call it pop. The South is soda.
Okay. All right.
Or Coca-Cola. It's Coca-Cola.
Okay.
Coca-Cola. Cold drink.
Okay.
Drink. But no, I did have some soda because I don't usually drink black soda, but I'm trying to stay awake. I had plenty of food.
That's some black shit.
I had some
distinction between light and dark soda.
I had picked up some pound cake for Walmart.
Oh wow.
You was good to go.
I was good. And I keep all my snacks in the passenger seat so I can
get right to it.
In addition to
you have like, a little cooler for the soda?
No, I just let it be enough and I re-up. As I make my stop,
I get a cooler. I get a cup of ice.
To my Aleve and whatever else I might need, because now my age. That's the hard part. Doesn't even staying awake. It's the body aches after being
knees locking up.
My knees, like all of that. So you know, I got to get out and stretch my hip. You know, all of that. So
young niggas, man, I never talk about me stretching.
The old nigga podcast for real.
Exactly. woo. Bro, are you there? Did he pop over? I think he's there.
Yeah, I'm here.
You want to talk about Life of Crime?
Oh yeah, man. So, can you guys hear me clearly?
Yeah. Bro got his mask on. He being safe.
Yeah. So basically, Life of Crime is really fascinating. It's a 30-year documentary. They follow three people over the course of 35 years, from 1984 to 2020. And the three prime, this came on HBO years ago.
Oh, I didn't know that. Kind of,
yes. So the footage you originally see is something that came in like the 90s.
Oh.
Yes. So it initially came on HBO and they basically kind of just followed up. This was almost like a follow-up to this. And there was... three main characters, Freddie, Rob, and Delirious. And it was one of the most it was really fascinating to watch how drugs really tear at families in a way that isn't always easily identifiable.
It's not as black and white as a lot of people try to
exactly, make it. Exactly. And so one of the things that I had to learn, you know, probably over the last few years was like, you know, there's a scene where the documentarian is, you know, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning and her kids are just like outside.
Yeah.
Just like out. They're outside and wide awake. And yeah. This isn't like
and not being supervised
summertime.
Really.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like it's summertime where there's like no school and shit like that. Like they still have to be, they're supposed to be at school in the morning. And she like takes off and apparently like to go get some drugs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of want to say like, hey man, why are you not stepping in here? Like, why are you not doing something? And then you recognize that a part of that person's job is to document this and not become part of the story.
Stay behind the camera.
And then you can see it in a much clearer picture. We see Freddie actually succumbs to his, you know, I mean, he never really got off of drugs.
Only time he was clean was when, well, half the time, I should say, was when he was in prison. And even then, he wasn't all clean all the time.
I was about to say, Freddie gave me the impression that he was never clean. Even when he had those kids, that might have been like he was clean-ish.
Yeah.
Like he hadn't, you know, and so... You see the struggles with Rob. You see Deliris kind of conquer this. And one of the things that it drove home was she did, you know, have a fallback. She slipped back into drug use during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And
but she had one before that, remember? She had gotten clean and then fell back and then gotten clean again.
And then she had gotten, and then she had a long stretch of time. It was something like 13 years she was clean.
Yep.
And that pandemic, man, what I, you know, collateral damage, one of the things you don't really think about is that it took away NA meetings. It took away, you know, AA meetings. It took away the safety nets for those people to be able to go in and get that help and guidance. And she backslid, man, and it looks like she caught a hot shot. It was literally
$5.
$5 worth of drugs, man. And God bless her children for being as compassionate as they were. Yeah. A lot of times you see a lot of angry kids, and I'm not saying this in any judgmental tone, right? I didn't have parents that were addicted to drugs, so I don't have the right to kind of, you know, soapbox about how you should treat your parents, but the way they looked at her and the way they felt about her and the way they reacted to her was very endearing, and it was very heartfelt. And you know, it was just awful, man, seeing that happen. But
she had three kids, two boys and a girl. And so we followed them kind of as, no, we didn't follow them like the school center. We saw them as little kids throughout the doc, and then, you know, and then obviously we saw them at the end when she passed away. They were all full grown adults, and like bro said, they weren't like, man, what the fuck? They were like, really, they were kind of like, they were obviously very hurt that their mom died, but they were kind of like very, like you said, compassionate. Like, she had this thing, and she, you know, she couldn't shake this thing. You know, she tried. And the thing about Deliris, which was sad, was like, many things are sad. It was like right before she passed, like a few scenes before that, she had gotten like a proclamation from the city because she was like doing all this community work, social work. She was like helping people with addiction and like running meetings. And like, she was like, you know, the person in Newark, like one of the people in Newark is like, oh, you have a problem, go to her. She can get you in a program.
Yeah, deliver it to help you. Yeah.
Yeah.
She knew kind of the programs. She knew where to direct you and things like that.
Yep.
And because she was a former addict and, you know, a former sex worker, right? She knew, she was able to meet those people where they were.
Yeah, she's like, I know the story.
She probably did a lot more. she probably did a lot more good than maybe she even realized, or you know, or people even recognize. So it's a really, really riveting documentary, man. And you know, one, you know, the two out of three people, two die of OD, one in a horrible way.
Woo, I can't believe they showed that, bro.
Yeah, and the other dies of, I believe it was from HIV. Complications of HIV. Yeah.
So it's very intense, but it's you know, and it's not, you know, a happy piece, but it's very compelling. Because again, we're following them from 1984, like, you know, in Newark, you know, you know, up to now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. I highly recommend it. It's you know, it's gonna break your heart, but I recommend it. I want to talk a little bit about New Year's Eve.
On CNN.
Yes, New Year's Eve programming. CNN has like over the past, I guess, 4 or 5 years or so, CNN has like really taken over. If you're home on New Year's Eve, like, they've taken over from, Dick Clark is, you know, long gone, and, and I don't know what CBS
would
even
do. I feel
like
they need to rebrand. Sorry to cut you off, but no shots to Ryan Seacrest, because Ryan Seacrest...
That's trash. Like, it's trash. It's trash.
They need to rebrand it. Like,
why? It's trash. It's trash.
Years, Rockety,
no.
20-some years. But go ahead.
No shots from Naima. Shots from me. That shit is terrible, bro. Like, it's like
terrible.
All they did was they took something that was very happening in 1987,
right?
And they just put that nigga's name on it, and that was it. Like, there's nothing special, spectacular, different. There is no distinguishing other than him being like, if you swapped him CGI with him and Dick Clark, there's no difference.
No difference. Yeah. It's the same show. The guests are like super mid. It's just mid. It's just mid across the board. So over the past, I'm going to say 4 or 5 years, it might be a little longer, CNN has been doing New Year's Eve. And it started with, who was still there, Don Lemon.
I think they've been doing the New Year's Eve coverage. I think the difference is that people started watching it for entertainment.
And then Don Lemon and Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen are drinking on the show.
It started with Don being drunk.
Don be drunk drunk.
Don is like, oh God, Don Lemon's drunk.
Don's shirt off.
Probably started by the time Jeff Zucker took over, probably. So when CNN went to a newsertainment type format, Jeff Zucker, who's also responsible for Trump getting so much coverage on CNN during his run. So it started with, because they will send Don to New Orleans. Don's from Baton Rouge. I need to remind people again, Don Lemon is from fucking Baton Rouge. Like, that nigga is a nigga, no matter how much he's trying to front.
A southern nigga.
So raised by a single mom in the projects, he's a nigga, which is why we can't forgive his clownery. But anyway, so they would send Don to New Orleans. Don would be fucked up sometimes with his man. So it started with like, oh God, Don Lemon is drunk on CNN again. Then because Andy and Anderson, with their friendship, they actually have an act that they take on the road that they do together. Like a straight man, funny man type joint where they have conversations and discussions and whatever. So
who's
then
the straight man?
You know what? You know
what's TV. Anyway, ignoring Jeffrey, listen, we are line step with New Year, same line step. So they started bringing Andy on with Anderson, because you know Anderson is never going to lose but so much decorum if he
he's very like straight laced.
Like, if he's on CNN, if he's there as a newsman, God damn it, he's going to be a newsman. And so they brought Andy in to be with him, and Andy just went for it New Year's Eve, like
crazy.
He was on.
But honestly, every year they've been on, he'd been going ham like that. Like, they be, because like they're literally like drinking probably before, actually.
Yeah,
but definitely from the time the show comes on. And they're openly like, drinking. They're like drinking. They're not like, put that shit on the side. They're like,
taking shots with everything.
Yeah, like, boom, boom, boom. So like they going ham. I mean, 1 year Dom was on there, because I guess, I don't know if him and his man had broken up, or maybe he hadn't met him yet. And he was on, it was a woman that used to be on with Don too. And he's like, this year I'm gonna find love. I'm tired of being alone. You know, I got all these things and I am by myself.
This year,
this year, homegirl. Oh my God, I'm so mad. I need to look up.
She said her resolution.
No more broke dick.
And Don was like, wait, what? What'd you say?
She said, like, four times.
No more broke. Yeah, she said, like, three times. Don was like, wait,
hold on. And then Don, took the
earpiece out. Yeah. The earpiece out, like, wait, what'd you say?
Right.
That was my favorite moment of the day.
He said titties on the air about five times. Definitely. Then Dom said titties. She said something about titties being on TV. Dom was like, your titties is all over TV. Dom even said, he was like, the producers are having a fit. It's New Year's Eve. Lighten up. Like, that was his closing thing. He was like, y'all got to lighten up. Like, that's literally how he was like, y'all got to lighten up. It's New Year's Eve.
And they was right in the heart of Baton Rouge.
He on his purple sequin jacket. Yeah. They were on him. No, they were in New Orleans. They
That was New Orleans.
They were, I think they were on Bourbon Street or something.
Oh, okay. Like, I thought they was in Baton Rouge. Okay.
No, they were in New Orleans. So, like,
Andy are both going ham. Anderson, yo, it went by because it was so much happening. Yo, Andy Cohen dissed this woman so bad. I don't know who this woman was. She was, I don't think she was a guest. I mean, she was a guest. She wasn't a host. And she was like, hey, Andy, you know, I have your phone number. We met one time. And Andy was like, ugh, delete. I was like, no. Bro, you killed this woman on national TV. He was like, I don't know. Take my phone and I know about your phone. Yo,
Andy did say on Monday, he said he was overserved, which is funny because he admitted he served himself.
He was drinking out the bottle.
Yeah, but he also showed what he was drinking. He was drinking two different kinds of tequila. And so he said that he was overserved. But then he also said later that he doesn't regret shit he said. There was one thing. He said he regretted insulting Ryan Seacrest, because there was one point where he said, behind us, you can see Dick, the boring ass dude.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's the one thing. He said that's the one thing he regrets saying, because him and Ryan are good. They don't have no beef, like, whatever. Yeah, he said, but nothing else. Because he went on a full rant on de Blasio's ass, which is what most of us who had.
Yeah, and then they cut to the swearing in, which I thought was.
That was
Chef.
I don't remember that happening before.
Right? No, That's Eric Adams on that shit.
It happens at like 9 a.m. Right?
It happens in front of City Hall. It happens at City Hall.
I don't even think it happens the first day of the new year. I think it's like inauguration. I think it's supposed to happen later in January.
Yeah, when it was happening, I was like, wait, what? This ain't how this shit goes. You get them in front of City Hall with the whole people out there. This nigga's
God bless New York City.
Yeah, and de Blasio's dancing around, shaking people's hands, and that's the man. Andy going ham. And
I guess, listen, I recognize that I'm in the minority, but I just thought he was overboard. There's something very,
Eric?
I'm talking about Andy. Like, Andy, he was just overboard. And, like, the indignation that people were having that anybody thought he was overboard was just fascinating to me. Like, look, he didn't fucking kill anybody, right? Like, we're not saying that he did anything that was like a, you know, like this like awful offense that he should never be on television again. I don't think anyone would suggest that, but like, dude was wilding. He was fucking wilding. He was, if you're having a party and that guy is acting like if that's a guest of a guest at your party, are you telling him he can come back? Get the fuck out of here.
Listen, if CNN did say that he's not coming back next year, I'm not mad.
He probably will come back.
They're so popular.
There's a bit of posturing. Yeah, and there's a bit of posturing here by everyone. And that's what it is.
He was wild, but I guess it's just to be expected every year.
I also get, and
maybe I'm a little sensitive to this shit because I know if anybody else did that, like if that was a black woman behaving like that on television, her ass would have been dealt with way differently.
Because there was
a black woman with Don acting a fucking mess.
And they've had Regina. Remember, Regina and Jack Kay had the classic.
That was on CNN this time, too. There is certain behavior that is expected and understood if you are a guest. There is that same behavior does not apply to the host. Okay. And I just thought he was overboard as someone that was a host. I didn't really find it like funny and cute.
I get that.
All right. I want to give a shout out to my nigga Elmo. Elmo's
fuck,
a hot.
Fuck Elmo.
Ruined Sesame.
Fuck Elmo. That little red, spoiled ass, bratty ass monster.
Yo,
fuck
him. What's her name?
Zoe, leave Elmo alone with that goddamn rock.
Yo, Elmo is not
like Elmo Rocco and
Elmo is part of the reason right that the kids is fucking brats now. Fuck that monster.
Nah, leave Elmo
alone. Now the rock is like, you know what, Elmo, I'm gonna come to Sesame Street and I'm gonna talk to you about these cookies. And I'm like, yes, let's go.
Zoe be gaslighting Elmo.
How is Rocco gonna eat the cookie? You can't have my cookie, Rocco.
Look at that.
Zoe gaslighting Elmo, man.
Nah, Elmo can ask about the cookie. Elmo can ask. Okay, but he's a rock. How's a rock? But Elmo's like, he's a rock. Rock can't eat the cookies, Zoe. He can't. Yeah. This is the problem. Take that baseball.
Why does the rock need to eat my favorite cookie? There were other cookies available. Nah, the rock doesn't get a cookie preference.
It's the way he did it, though. It's the way he did it. Nah, because he'd be going, no, because he'd be wilding. Elmo, calm down. There is a skit, because people on Twitter.
Free Elmo.
People on Twitter know I hate Elmo. I am very much a handsome kid. There is. In my office, there is a picture of Jim Henson with the Ernie and the Grover Muppets that I have hanging in my office. When I went to Sesame Street as a grown-ass adult, like 3 years ago, and I was about to take a picture, they put Elmo next to me, and I said, no, I want Ernie. I made them move that little nigga out
you
the way.
You hating on Elmo, man.
And get Elmo.
E-Money. You hating on E-Money.
I had Big Bird behind me, Grover over my shoulder, and Ernie next to me. That's exactly who I, and Cookie on the other side. That's exactly who I wanted. But anyway. As a Henson kid, as a probably Sesame Street started like 73 as a second generation Sesame Street kid, Elmo changed the whole trajectory of everything Sesame Street. Like he was completely unlike any other character. The commercialization of Elmo was just not, it was just so annoying to watch him take over the entire Sesame Street.
I'm tight about Elmo.
I hate him. But also like, so they know, so when this, there's a skit, there's a clip of Kermit trying to talk about being loud versus being quiet. And Elmo comes in and Elmo's like wilding the fuck out. And even Kermit ends up losing his composure by the end of the clip. And I'm like, this is what I'm talking about. This, he got Kermit upset. Like how you get Kermit to fall upset.
That's my man. That's my man E.
Fuck Elmo. Little spoiled
ass. Did you even make a contribution? Are you a viewers like you of PBS? To be this indignant about
I credit skipping a grade and all that other stuff to PBS. I give that, and I have given them money. Matter of fact, I just gave Sesame Street $25 like 2 weeks ago. So
okay.
Some foundation they have or whatever.
Peace
so
to Elmo. I'm saying,
I do give my money. Fuck
Sesame Street.
Fuck
sunny days.
Yeah, peace and love to Elmo, man. I want to
try to get Grover out. The monster at the end of this book. Fuck him. Fuck Elmo.
Let's not forget that Elmo's mama is a black queen with purple dreads.
Yeah, Elmo's lit. I want to mention this. I guess it's a documentary series, very interesting on Hulu called The Dark Days of the 90s. I suggest anybody who obviously was either around the 90s or grew up in the 90s or like to watch this documentary. It's a bunch of different episodes about different things in the 90s that happened in the 90s. Some a little more lighthearted, some a little more dark. They talk about grunge music. They talk about, you know, television and kind of like the sitcoms. They talk about David Koresh and Heaven's Gate. Yep. They talk about, there's other things I'm blanking out. It's a bunch of Beanie Babies. There's a bunch of different things. It's very well done.
Vice documentary. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Vice Doc. Yes, yeah. Vice Doc.
And
yeah.
I told you guys in the group chat, because I don't think I told y'all, or I might
Viper Room.
I might have said I was somewhere taping, but didn't tell y'all when. I actually taped for their second season right before, right around Thanksgiving.
Oh, so when's it coming out?
I need to look. I think not till like the fall, because. Okay. You know what? I think it actually is coming in the spring, and I think that's why season one is back, because season one originally came out last summer.
Oh,
and okay. I think that's why, I think it maybe, it just came to Hulu, but it debuted last summer, and I think season two comes out, like, in the spring or summer.
Okay.
So, I'm on two episodes. One is about the late night wars, and specifically...
With Arsenio?
Arsenio got caught up in it, yeah. And when I was talking to the producer about Arsenio... I was talking about it in the landscape of Black TV in the 90s in general, because you can't not. Mm-hmm. And they were working at the time on an episode on Martin, but they turned it into an episode on Black sitcoms in the 90s. Okay. And like going from, you know, that NBC golden era with the Cosby Show and everything till we had like 20 something shows on the air till like by the end of the 90s, we really had shit coming into, you know, that span of time. We didn't have anything. So I also taped for that one. So, but I haven't seen it before, and I saw it was on Hulu, and I was like, let me actually watch it.
Mm-hmm.
In it. Now let me
Well done. It. It's very well done. Very well done. My favorite was the, I don't know, the Viper Room one was very compelling. Mm-hmm. And I really like the Sub Pop one, which is about this record label up in Seattle, which kind of started the grunge.
Like, don't they now have like a whole bunch of, I feel like, if I'm not mistaken, I feel like it's Sub Pop now. Two of the main people at the label have had a whole bunch of sexual abuse or sexual harassment allegations come out against them or something like that.
They didn't talk about that on, if they did, they didn't talk about that on this. They just talked about the kind of like the arc and how, like with a lot of small labels, especially like a label, a city like Seattle, which is so out of the mix, like they would find these acts and then the acts would like get hot and then leave. Like they found, they found Alice in Chains. Was it Alice in Chains or Pearl Jam? Both, I think. And then they both left. And then they found, of course, Nirvana. They put out Nirvana's first album, which is called Bleach. And then Nirvana left and went to Geffen Records. And so they kind of, it's like the arc of what's happened with them. So it's a very well done documentary, if you know. I highly suggest people watch it. It's just good fun entertainment. I'm kind of trying to think.
While you're thinking, I meant to do this earlier.
Yeah,
I want to shout out my mom's silver sneakers class. I should have brought this up.
Oh, yeah. I actually had that written down, too.
So my mother is an instructor for a silver sneakers class at the Y. Silver sneakers is a series of classes for senior citizens.
They've been around for a minute, right?
They've been around for a while. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they have swim classes. They have Zumba classes. My mom, she started as attending their Zoom because my mother is very, very engaged in the retirement community in her town, which is so funny. Like, it's very dope. But I love it. She's very busy. She's on a lot of boards. She does a lot of things. It's a lot. So she started as taking the class, and somebody suggested she be an instructor. So she got trained. She's been an instructor for a few years now. So I sat in on her class. She does a total body conditioning class. And there were about 10 to 12 women there. Not all of them were there because it's still the holiday season. And like, I go in, you know, I get my weights higher than most of the women have them. And my resistance band was higher. And I'm thinking I'm going to breeze through this shit. Now, mind you, my mom has been the chick, like my mother was doing all the exercise tapes, all the yoga,
Jane Fonda and all that.
All of that in-house forever. She's been that broad forever. So it's not surprising. So she was on every workout trend, everything. Not trend, I shouldn't say trend, but you know, we had an exercise out in the 90s, all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, though, I'm going to breeze through this class. Psych. Like, I was really in there like, wait, why is like my arm burning right now? Why is actually, because I was also like, I can't, because I'm also in pretty decent shape right now. I cut some weight, like I was feeling good, but I haven't actually been exercising, like focused on exercising. Like my move was very active and me doing stuff and hanging stuff and painting and fixing stuff did a lot. But I was like, y'all gotta go back to like actually working out for real, because the whole entire calisthenics situation and actually going through
wore you out. You
know, sets like was wearing me down. And I was like, I can't modify the shit because I'm 20 plus years younger than all these people. And I can't not do it full out because I'm her daughter, right? So it's like, I was like, is anybody else breaking a sweat? Because I'm breaking a sweat. Is anybody else breaking a sweat? Is Susan breaking a sweat? Is this one breaking? But those ladies, like
Ernestine,
they were engaged. They were in it. They go at their own pace. They go. She puts a whole bunch of different music in there, which they love. Like she had some Bob Marley up in there. But she also had like Willie Nelson, but Willie Nelson doing like a pop standard, which was crazy. Like my mom digging through the crates, finding stuff that she wants. She had this Bob Marley joint, go down low, do. Like she had been looking for it the night before. She makes a little playlist. So, and I want to shout out to Miss Ida, especially because
Miss Ida,
I went in with a mask on. I went in with a mask on. I was wearing masks everywhere because of South Carolina, but also because I had not been tested once I got to South Carolina. And the way that the numbers were going up in New York. I had no idea. I hadn't been around people, but I've been in stores and stuff, which
yeah, at this point isn't around.
And even though I drove down, but Miss Ida came over to me and said, take your mask off so I can see if you look like your mama. So I took my mask off. Miss Ida, I was like, well, Miss Ida, I'm wearing a mask for y'all. She was like, take your mask off.
Miss Ida don't hear that shit.
And as soon as I took it off, she said, just pretty. You just so pretty. So shout out to Miss Ida.
Thank shout you. Out to Miss Ida. We love you, Miss Ida.
Shout out to the silver sneakers.
To the silver sneakers. Silver
sneakers, they be getting it.
Getting it cracking.
And I talked on Twitter about how my mother almost whooped my ass, and everybody was like, don't sleep on them. A lot of mm-hmm. people had the same thing to say. They like, yeah.
It go multiple times a week, so they in shape.
Like, even like mall walkers, I did that one time with my mom. I was like, there's no way I'm doing this again. No, thank you.
They be like, we going on a walk. They do not mean a stroll. They be
moving. They moving and
getting
grooving.
Them steps in. Exactly.
Bro, you want to mention AB before we go?
I mean,
you mention, you know.
It's really, I mean, I don't really even know what to mention. I mean, it's a fool acting a fool. I mean, Antonio Brown, who's much troubled. Has multiple allegations about multiple things from multiple people, was basically, I guess, taken out of the game. Mm-hmm. And apparently there's some issues right now with the timeline of what happened. But ultimately, during the course of a game, he literally strips out of his pads on the sideline, takes his shirt off, throws his stuff into the crowd, leaves the game, literally gets into a car and like heads out, and he's just out.
And filming himself in the Uber with some dude.
Yeah, and you know, and the people, I have to temper what I say and how I say it in this particular frame, because I think people as employees think that this is like cool. And it's think not. That it's like, you know, like this, fuck your job and I'm going to just do whatever I want to do. And like that behavior was just ridiculous. It was ridiculous on every level, on every level.
Crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Like there's a reason you don't see it with fucking 75 years of football and hundreds of players.
Yeah.
But now he's saying that he was hurt and they made a play, and it's always something with a guy like that.
And you always know what somebody else's fault.
You know what he gives me? He gives me slip and fall energy. You know that guy that's not, they're not really a scammer, but they want to get over on something.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, you know, they're not going to walk around the grape. They're going to kind of go over to the grape and see if maybe they don't want to hurt themselves. They might want to twist the ankle just enough to get some bread.
Yeah.
Like, it's that kind of energy I get from him.
Yeah. I never told you all this story. So I was riding up, I guess I was, what goes up? I guess it was 3rd Avenue. Yeah, I guess it was 3rd Avenue. I don't forget where I was going. And a cab, how did this happen? The cab swung over and clipped me. And there was a guy in the back of the cab, black guy. So I get out the car and I'm like, damn, what the fuck is he doing, bro? To the cab driver. And the black guy says, hey, bro, your paperwork straight? The guy in the back of the cab was like,
right.
Yeah. Right. He was like, oh, my neck. Oh, shit. Oh. And that nigga carried that case all the way through.
Wow.
That carried that case all the way
at least he asked him if his paperwork was in order first.
He asked me my paperwork was straight, and then he proceeded to act a goddamn fool on 3rd Avenue, maybe like a 98th Street, 103rd Street, something like that. I was headed uptown, and I remember because my insurance went up, and it was on the thing that this guy filed a claim. Niggas.
Wow.
Niggas.
Yeah. So,
that's AB. I
mean, AB also gives me the kind of energy that is, I don't really get the sense that he's a guy that's taking care of his money.
Yeah.
So
he might want to be easy.
Well, you know what? I also think he's a reckless dude. Like, I think he's the kind of guy that doesn't, you know, listen to anything. And listen, I think it's also time for us to come to terms with a part of those traits, or those traits themselves are part of what makes them great athletes.
Yeah.
Right? This very reckless, no holds barred, no rules apply to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to do this at every cost. I'm going to do this at every turn type shit. And that's what they do. And this is the behavior that you get. But he has been coddled. He has been babied. And there's a clip of him. And like, there's a doctor doing an examination. And he's literally farting in like the doctor's face. Like, he's a fucking 9-year-old. Like, it's absurd. It's fucking absurd.
Yeah. Yeah, it is absurd. Yeah, he's a clown. I'm going to end it pretty light. Inky, you want to talk about And Just Like That? Did you see the last episode?
I didn't see the one that came out today.
Oh, okay. I'll leave it alone. But I'll leave it alone. This Thursday. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Not today. The one that came out with Miranda and an old girl in Carrie's house. What did you think about that?
I think we're at the point where it's illustrating why no one asked for this. Because this episode is when the show really went off the rails for me. Like,
so this episode took you out.
I mean, I'm gonna keep watching it.
I mean, yeah, but you just like this.
It's not where I assumed these characters would go. So if you remember the show, Miranda was like glued to the BlackBerry and very much into technology. And now she's like this Luddite who's carrying these big books around, who can't find Carrie's podcast.
Yeah.
And then the whole like, I'm kind of a lesbian now and I'm fucking your boss in the kitchen while
we're smoking weed and drinking tequila.
It was a lot for me. That scene specifically, I cringed. Like, I was watching it on a plane and I wanted to crawl inside my body when that scene came on. I had to like look away from my own fucking phone. Like, what is this?
Yeah, it wasn't sexy to me.
It was loud. It was grunty.
It was sweaty. It was like, yeah, there's a lot happening, man. And I still hate the, I don't know where they're going with this Brady and his girlfriend.
In a t-shirt and panties
and getting lube sent to the house on via Amazon. Like what?
Like, it's one thing to be like really liberal with your teenagers. It's another to just have absolutely no respect. I don't know that I'm walking around in a t-shirt and drawers in front of anybody's parents. It seems a little too far away from reality for me. Charlotte, I think Samantha being on the show really kind of balanced out Charlotte's neuroses. And we need that because Charlotte is fucking crazy.
Yeah. I'm also surprised that they're giving the Shay character so much play. Like, she's got a huge role in the show now.
This is just, I mean, they're responding to the criticism of the show being so white and so straight and kind of commodifying the gay characters that were on in the original show.
Yeah.
I think they went really far. They gave everybody a friend of color.
Yeah.
And now they're making it, it's a lot for me.
Yeah.
Hopefully the next episode brings it back around.
There was supposed to be some type of Mr. Big, not coming back alive, but somehow he was supposed to come back on the show. But whatever they were going to do, there was a flashback in the last episode
that they...
Yeah, and they wrote that out because of the allegations against Christopher North. I'm going to stick through it now because we had episode 6. But yeah, every week I'm like, damn.
That's the cringiest sex scene I have seen in a very long time. I was not prepared.
And then old girl just bounced. I gotta go. I gotta show.
Ain't wash her hands or nothing.
And she said, DM me if you want to link back up. What do you say, bro?
Have you guys watched any of Mayor of Kingstown?
Nah, I don't have that channel. I don't have, what's it, Paramount?
Okay.
Paramount. Yeah, but I hear it's really good though.
I saw the first episode. Excellent. Trav was really into it. It's not my. I don't like Jeremy.
Somebody send me a login.
I think you can watch it through Prime sometimes.
Yeah, check. We watch it through Prime.
Oh, it's on Prime? Okay.
There are certain channels you can watch through Prime. So, like, if you look it up on your Fire Stick and it gives you watch options, it might give you the option to watch it through your Prime.
Okay, and if not, the first month is free, you can get it for like $4.
Send me a login.
Nigga, if you don't pay this $4, I'm gonna get you Paramount Plus.
So running up my damn bill up in here.
Talk to Sean about this show.
The way I gotta start paying attention to my utilities, because I'm in a bigger apartment now, this kind of bill is not a game. I'm like,
Yeah.
I see a little wall detail behind you. Mm-hmm.
Wait, y'all can see my new light fixture in the mirror.
Oh yeah.
You better get you some motions.
I know, that's what mom said, get the motion sensor. I have everything on Alexa because I don't actually necessarily like every room except the room I'm in to be dark. I don't necessarily like that. So sometimes, like right now, I have a light on in the hallway, which is right outside my door, but outside the living room. But yeah, I got everything.
Put the light on over the stove.
I know. I got everything on Alexa.
You'll never turn that off.
And I was at home. I was in South Carolina because I was a little concerned because my windows have always faced the front, but they used to be kind of in the cut, and now they face the front for real, for real. So I would just be randomly turning my lights on and off while I was in South Carolina so that people wouldn't know the living room.
If you wasn't home.
Yeah. I'll just randomly, and I could drop in. I like that. I can, one of my Echoes is a Echo Show. You can drop in and actually see video of what's happening in your house. And you can drop in on any Echo and listen to see if anything is happening in your house. So between that and the Ring, listen, I was watching every fucking thing happening in and around this motherfucker. Like, I felt secure. I felt very like, because it's hard in an apartment. You can't have the same security features you have in a house.
No, you can't.
So, yeah.
I felt very secure with those, with all of this spyware. Okay. I know it works against us sometimes, but it helped me out.
Yeah. Y'all got anything else to say before we wrap this drone up?
Last shout out. I want to shout out this yellow cake with chocolate frosting that my lovely husband got me.
That's my favorite cake ever.
It's such a good cake.
Is that because wasn't there a thing? I remember this thing on Twitter or something, like people saying, is that called chocolate cake or is that called?
Oh, or is it called yellow cake?
Yellow cake.
Yellow cake.
I call that chocolate cake.
Chocolate cake is chocolate. The actual cake is chocolate.
That's not how I was raised.
Wait, time.
Bruh is the cake expert. Bruh, what's that cake called now?
I will say this. If you go into any soul food restaurant and say, I want a slice of chocolate cake, that's what you're getting. You're getting yellow cake with that chocolate frosting.
That's because they ain't making but so many kinds of cake. You go to a deli.
And if you go,
you go to a bakery, black folk.
Okay. No, because Simply Wholesome in LA is black folks, and they have chocolate cake.
Ain't no goddamn LA.
If Sister Johnson asks you, do you want chocolate cake after service? You getting that yellow cake
with chocolate frosting?
Yes. Now, it might be something somewhere else.
Right. There's a reason I disagree, because I don't like chocolate baked goods like that. I don't eat chocolate cookies. I eat chocolate cake only if it's a real cakey cake. I don't eat it if it's a fudgy cake, right? Like if it's a dense cake. So I don't eat chocolate cupcakes. I only eat yellow cake and white cake. That's it.
So, I call the chocolate. My mama called the chocolate cake. I call the chocolate cake.
One last shout out I do want to give. I wanna shout out everybody who's out here playing Super Mario Brothers trying to dodge COVID. Listen, this is where we are. You are probably going to test positive at some point. We all are. It doesn't mean you haven't been doing everything right, because I know a lot of friends who are still feeling guilt when they test positive, who've been doing everything they possibly can. And we're just at a stage now where unless you lock yourself in your house,
Amaya not here.
It's just not possible, right?
But I'm locking still, in. I can't do it.
I know, but what I'm saying is still, that doesn't mean that you should just be out here like whatever, because stats are saying that you're probably gonna test. Still be careful, still keep in mind the people who are around you, immunocompromised people. Still
please keep the kids in mind.
And the kids who have no choice matter in most states still about getting you know, vaccinated, and still get boosted. You still do all that shit that you can possibly do. And no more cloth masks. No more cloth. And I know it's hard because you can't find home tests. Like, I went to Walmart on my way out of town and just happened to luck out. I was surprised at how hard it was for me to find home tests, even in South Carolina. I just happened to luck out, and they had just got some new home tests back in stock. And I didn't clean them out because I was like, that would be fucked up. But they didn't have a limit. So I got home tests on my way back, and I know it's hard to find N95 masks that you trust, but just do the best you can to be as vigilant as you can. That's all.
Yeah. And if you go to Target to get the masks, you can't get them in the store. You have to order them on Drive Up because they don't want you in the store if you need a test.
Oh wow.
Okay. Yeah.
So what if you're getting the test preemptively? You know what? Never mind. Okay.
Can't buy them in the store.
All right.
Wow.
We're going to wrap it.
That's crazy.
We're going to wrap it up on that note. Wear your mask.
Double masks
ain't cutting it no more. Yeah, or at least put an N95 filter in your cloth mask. But that's
some shit. Yes. Yeah, do something. Come on, stop fucking around. It's
I'm officially an old nigga too, by the way. Very excited about it.
Oh yeah, happy belated.
Now you officially part of the, now you belong on the podcast.
I am. I'm 40. Feels amazing.
You had old nigga cake.
After this.
Old nigga cake. I know some butterscotch disappeared in your bag.
No, I've been on the strawberry candies in the bottom of my purse for a very long time.
Wait, the ones with the red wrapping with the
green? The ones that look like a strawberry.
Oh, yeah. You old nigga now.
I'm an old nigga. I've been an old nigga.
Welcome to the club.
Thank you very much. I feel great.
Y'all be safe out there. We'll see y'all next week.
Later.
Peace.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast.